Hi, I'm Edward Sree, and welcome to All Things Catholic, where real faith meets real life.
Do you ever find yourself anxious and troubled by many things? It could be things at work. It could be something going on in a certain relationship. Maybe something happened in family life. What do we do when we find ourselves stressed out, overwhelmed, and especially anxious? I think there's a great saint. The great saint that can help us in those moments in life. And her name is Martha. You know the story of St. Martha. Jesus rebukes her for being anxious and troubled by many things. And yet she was changed. She was freed from those anxieties. She was freed from being weighed down by the burdens of life and the various crosses and trials that come up. How did she find that interior freedom? How does she live in peace? How does she live in trust of God's providence and care for her life? How did she come to find freedom from anxiety? That's where we take a look at in this week's podcast. So welcome to All Things Catholic. I'm your host, Edward Sree, and it has been so fun getting to meet so many of my listeners out there. Thank you for coming up at the various conferences I've been presenting at here this Lent, whether it was in St. Louis or Monroe in Peachtree, Georgia. Really excited, and I'm hoping to get to meet many of you up in the Twin Cities area in the great state of Minnesota, because I'm going to be there later this week, March 13th through 14th in St. Michael's Parish, just north of the Twin Cities, and I'll be on the 15th down in the New Ulm Diocese for their Eucharistic Congress on Friday during the day with the school teachers and parish leaders. But then I'll be with all the lay people in the evening down there all together on Friday night on the 15th. If you're in the Miami area, look forward to seeing you as well, March 20th and 21st in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm coming your way on April 5th through 6th. I'll be there for the Eucharistic Congress. Anyone in the whole state of South Carolina, I think there'll be people coming from North Carolina and Georgia as well, but we're going to be gathering for a big Eucharistic Congress on April 5th through 6th in Columbia. Now, I have a question for you. Have you ever sat in the pew at church and wondered, what does this all mean? What is this all about? You know, the words, the rituals, the gestures of the Mass. What's the purpose of all this? Well, in my study, A Biblical Walk Through the Mass, we explore the extraordinary biblical roots of the liturgy and discover what it all means and why it matters. And I'm excited to share with you that this study, along with many other award-winning studies from Ascension, are available to listen right now on the Ascension app. Isn't that incredible? Right now, you can go right to your phone and get to listen to A Biblical Walk Through the Mass. You can do it while you're driving, do it when you're going for a walk, and you have access to it right at your fingertips. That and many other studies from other people like Jeff Cavins, Father Mike, and many others. This app you can download today and dive right in by searching Ascension app in the App Store. So just pull out your phone, go to Ascension app as you're searching your App Store there, or you can just text ATC to 71391, and you can receive a link to download the Ascension app. So right there to your phone, really easy. Again, that's ATC to 71391. Now, I want to turn here to this topic of how Martha found freedom. You know, so many people today are struggling with the pressures of life, especially the younger generation. They struggle with anxiety, whether it's young moms, young dads, young professionals, college students. You hear this a lot, but it's not just the younger generation. It's people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. There's a lot of extra stress in the world today. Or maybe the stresses are there, but we're not coping with them like we used to. We find ourselves like Martha, worried and anxious and troubled by many things. How do we find the freedom that Martha found? Because she became a great saint. First of all, let's go back to that scene, that famous scene in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. You know the story. Mary is there just sitting at Jesus' feet, praying and being with Jesus. And Martha's all stressed out because she's trying to get the meal ready. She's trying to get the house ready. She's hosting for Jesus here. And she's a little stressed that Mary's not helping. Mary's just sitting there with Jesus. And she's got the burden of doing all this. And notice what Jesus rebukes Martha for here. She's not being rebuked for being busy. She's not being rebuked for having a lot of activity. You know, that's not the issue, right? Because in our lives today, many of us lay people, we're going to have a lot of responsibilities and busyness at work and driving kids around. And there's a lot going on in our lives. We can't just drop it all and become religious monks or contemplative nuns. That's not our vocation. We're going to be very busy and have a lot of responsibilities and timelines and deadlines and forms to fill out and things to get done and appointments and meetings. And there's a lot that goes on in the life of a layperson. We can't just be sitting and contemplating all day long. So notice the rebuke. Jesus isn't rebuking Martha for being busy, for not doing her work, for being in the kitchen. That's not the issue. She had to prepare the meal. That was actually a good thing. You can actually find Jesus in your work. That's not the issue. The challenge is that she didn't have an attentive interior attitude. At least that's what the great Cardinal Sarah says. You may know Cardinal Robert Sarah. He's written a wonderful book called The Power of Silence, and talking about how do we build that interior silence into our daily lives. And I think this is really important to realize that that's what Jesus is going after in Martha's soul. It's not her activity. It's not her busyness. It's what's happening on the inside in the midst of the busyness and stresses and disappointments of life. Jesus says to her, you are anxious about many things. But he says, but Martha has chosen the one thing necessary. She's chosen the better part. And I think that's the contrast here is Martha's scattered. She's scattered and stressed about many things going on. But Mary is focused on the one thing necessary. And I think in our lives, this is what happens is we have a lot of responsibilities, but do we put all of those things and all the things we're concerned about, we have to think through and plan and get done. Do we live with the one thing necessary though? Or are we stretched and scattered by the many things? Now, I want to share with you this quote from Cardinal Sarah. And by the way, we're going to put this in the show notes. So for those of you that get the show notes, you're going to get all these great quotes and extra information, outlines, and resources. I should really mention this. This is a great thing for you to get. If you haven't signed up for the show notes, if for free, and you can get the podcast just sent to you, right in your inbox every week and make it really easy for you. But it comes with all this extra material and resources and helps to apply what we talk about in the podcast all the time. So get the show notes. You can get that by just texting All Things Catholic to 33777. So All Things Catholic, just type that in one word, All Things Catholic to 33777, and you can get the show notes. And I'm going to put this wonderful quote from Cardinal Sarah in the show notes here today. He says that we should always make sure to be Mary before becoming Martha. I think that's an important point here, that the Martha in her activity is not bad, but do we have the interior heart of Mary before we go out into our Martha activities? I'm just setting all this up. I can't wait to get into the scene we're going to look at today where we see Martha's conversion. We see how she's been changed. But I'm just setting up the story for now. But I just want to highlight it's so important that we become Mary first. I think that's what Martha learns, is that there's something good in Mary that she needs more of. And if we become like Mary, centered on Christ more, then when we go into our many activities in the workplace, the chores we have to get done, the financial responsibilities, our volunteering at the parish, the stresses of changing diapers and getting kids to school or whatever it is, all those things, are they rooted in the interior disposition of Mary in daily prayer? Because if I don't have that, if I'm not grounded like Mary in daily prayer, I'm going to be worried and anxious about many things. I think that's one thing we should ask ourselves. If I find myself stressed all the time, I find myself anxious a lot, I should ask, do I have the Mary part of me down? Am I becoming like Mary before I go into all my Martha activities? Do I start each day spending time in prayer? Do I spend time resting in the Lord, allowing him to fill my soul with his life and his guidance and his comfort and his encouragement? Now, I can pray every day and I'm still going to have stresses and I still may fall into anxiety, but I know that when I'm praying every day, even when a difficult thing comes up or there's a lot of pressure on something, that I'm less anxious. I'm still a work in progress. I'm still trying to live in the Lord's peace more and more, but I know I'm less anxious than I would be if I hadn't prayed that day. And I know that in certain days that it come up, maybe when I'm traveling or something and I have to get my prayer in later in the day, my morning doesn't go as well. I'm not at ease as much. I'm not living in the presence of the Lord as much. It's so important that, like Cardinal Sarah says, we have to make sure to be Mary before becoming Martha. So when I'm going out and being Martha, whether it's being a father to my kids and taking care of them and disciplining them and packing their lunches and driving them somewhere, or being a husband to Beth and being present to her and asking what's going on in her life and being able to enter into the drama of her day and the difficulties and the joys and the sorrows and the stresses in her life. If I want to be a good husband, or I can enter into that place more when I have the interior place of a Martha within me, that I've spent the time with the Lord and I'm able to be Jesus more to the people around me. So listen to what Cardinal Cerro goes on to say, because if we don't become like Mary before becoming Martha, what happens is this. He says, quote, "We run the risk of becoming literally bogged down in activism and agitation, the unpleasant consequences of which emerge in the gospel account: panic, fear of working without help, an inattentive interior attitude, annoyance like Martha's toward her sister, the feeling that God is leaving us alone without intervening effectively. Thus, in speaking to Martha, Jesus says, Mary has chosen the good portion. He reminds her of the importance of calming and quieting the soul so as to listen to one's heart." That's what Jesus is doing here. He's inviting Martha to just pause, to stop, to quiet her soul, to experience the calm of being in the presence of God, to be like Mary before she goes about all of her Martha duties. So he's not saying give up all the duties and give up all the things you have to get done. He's not saying don't worry about the meal, don't prepare the meal. He's not saying that. He's just saying you have to go in with the right disposition. Because when we don't, notice what Cardinal Cerro says. Do you ever experience this? Do you, in moments in life where you start to panic a little bit about something? Oh my goodness, what are they going to think? Oh, what's going to happen if this doesn't work out? What if I show up late? You know, we can panic. Do we have fear of that we're working without help? We're all alone. Do you ever feel that? I'm just all alone. My spouse doesn't understand. My boss doesn't understand. How come the people that work under me aren't working hard enough and they don't get why we have to work hard right now? Do you sometimes feel alone? Do you get a little annoyed? Do you sometimes even wonder, is God leaving me alone? How come God's not helping me? Those are the results, the symptoms of a Martha heart, a Martha that is anxious and worried about many things. Now, how did Martha experience change, though? She found freedom because she became a great saint. And we know that anxiety is not from God, and yet Martha became a great saint. So something changed in her, and we get a glimpse of it in one of the Bible readings we have in the Mass coming up this Sunday. Now, in Lent, there's different options. You know, there's the standard readings you can choose that the priest can choose to do, or sometimes they have the special readings. And in each year, there's the option in this particular week of Lent to choose the reading from John chapter 11 that features Martha again. It's in the story of Lazarus. And last year, we did a whole podcast about the raising of Lazarus. I'm focusing in on Martha in this scene here. Because what we see in the story is Martha is changed, and she's being raised up as a great model for us, as a great model of faith, of trust, of surrender, and a woman that still has some activism. There's activity in her life. We're going to see a certain urgency. She knows Lazarus has died, and she wants Jesus to do something and hopes he will. And she urgently goes to Jesus. So there's still movement and activity, action, urgency on Martha's part. But we're going to see she comes to Jesus now in a very different way than she did way back in Luke 10 when she was anxious. She's been liberated from her anxiety. Do you long for that? Do you long to have your soul calmed? Do you long to live in the peace of the Lord and to be able to go about your day with your friends, your work, the activity in the parish, your social life, the pressures you have with your career, the pressures you have in your family life? Do you long to go into them with the heart of Mary, with the heart of God's peace? Martha actually discovered this. How do we see this? So let's read the story. You know the story. Lazarus had just died, and this is her brother. This is Martha's brother, and she's, you know, very sad about this, of course. But it says in John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary sat in the house. So we see Martha still has the same urgency, the sense of responsibility. Her brother Lazarus has died, and she sat about it and wants to go to the one person who can make a difference, who might be able to help here, and that's Jesus. Whereas Mary's back at home, you know, that's what the Bible says here. Maybe she's just sitting at home contemplating. but Martha still, she doesn't lose her sense of responsibility, her sense of leadership, her sense of activity. She doesn't give that up. But yet notice how she comes to Jesus. It's in a different way, in a different disposition. It says in verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, let me just unpack this. There's a lot happening. This is really awesome to see what's going on in the change in Martha's soul. You see, the last time Martha came to Jesus, she was kind of complaining. You know, "Hey, why am I doing all this work? You know, and my sister Mary's just sitting there. Can you even tell her to do something?" Like she's coming and approaching Jesus from a place of anxiety. And she's telling Jesus what to do. That's always a sign something's off whenever we're telling Jesus, "You have to do this." But notice what she does here. Here she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And yet even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." This is a beautiful prayer of entrusting this difficulty, this challenge to Jesus. Notice she didn't say that. She didn't say, "Oh, Lord, you know, if it be your will, could you ask Mary to help?" She didn't surrender. It was kind of a complaint. It was a discussion flowing from her own frustration, her own anxiety. But as St. Augustine says, Martha offers a beautiful example of confident prayer. She has confidence in the Lord. And Augustine also says, and yet it's a humble prayer of surrender, of abandonment. In other words, she's so confident in Jesus. She believes that Jesus can really raise Lazarus from the dead. It's not too late. That's how much faith she has in Jesus. It's beautiful. "I know whatever you ask of God, he will give you." Do you have that faith? Do you have the faith of Martha at this point in her life? This is now the beginnings of Saint Martha. Do you have that kind of confidence that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what complicated situation is happening at your parish, or no matter what health issue that you're facing, or whatever difficulty you're having in your marriage, that God can actually come in and change it all and bring freedom? Do you believe he can do that? No, it's God's will. He doesn't always act and intervene in these ways. And he may have other purposes that go beyond what we think needs to be done at the parish or with my health or with my finances or with my job or with my marriage. God's plans are always bigger and better than our own. And there may be a reason why he doesn't fix the problem the way we think, because he wants to do something else in us. But yet, do we believe? Do we believe God can come and act in powerful ways? And yet, do we surrender? Do we give a prayer of abandonment? Notice Martha doesn't tell Jesus what to do. She just suggests, you know, I know whatever you ask, God will give you. She doesn't say, "Here, fix this, how you're going to fix my marriage. You know, you got to fix my spouse in this way. Change my spouse. Help my spouse stop doing this." Notice that's not the kind of prayer that Martha is bringing here. Or you need my pastor to allow me to do this in the parish. Or you need to fix this situation in our community. That's not the attitude of a Martha, Saint Martha, that is. Saint Martha doesn't tell Jesus what to do. She just abandons herself to God. She says, "And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And then she ends up giving the fullest confession of faith. It's amazing. So in chapter 11, verse 20, Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." And this is fascinating that in John's gospel, there are seven big I am statements, seven times when Jesus says, "I am." He says, "I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life." You know, so these big I am statements that Jesus makes in his gospel. "I am the light of the world." All the other I am statements are made with other people. They're either a big public statement and there's crowds around, or they're with the other apostles. This is the one I am statement that's given in private in a one-on-one conversation with Jesus. What an honor. Think about that. Martha, Martha, who is whining, complaining, and stressed out and anxious in Luke chapter 10, has come a long way, so much that she gets a personal I am statement. Jesus revealing to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Do you believe this? And notice what Martha says. She says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world. She calls him Lord. She calls him the Christ. She calls him the Son of God. This is the fullest confession of faith in the entirety of John's gospel. Martha has come a long way, and you can too. If you struggle with anxiety, you struggle with being stressed out sometimes and overwhelmed, and you lose your interior peace, guess what? Many of the saints did, and they were changed. Martha did, and she was changed. She found freedom. Let's close by thinking about how did Martha find that freedom? First of all, I think she learned the lesson that Jesus taught her back in Luke 10, when Jesus said to her that her sister Mary chose the better part. I think what she did was she started to learn something from her sister Mary, to put Jesus first in her life. Do you put Jesus first in your life? If you're listening to this podcast, it's probably because you believe in Jesus. You love him. You want to love him more. And you might believe all the teachings of the church. But do you, in your daily life, though, in your actions, do you put Jesus first? It's one thing to say, I believe God. God's really important to me. Do you ever have that in your marriage? For those of you that are married, where, you know, you love your spouse, you really do. But then maybe you don't prioritize your spouse as much as you should. You go through a certain season of life, a certain couple days, maybe a couple weeks, where you're too distracted by something else going on, and you're just not as attentive to your spouse's heart. You're not as present to him or to her as you should be. You're too weighed down by the other things in life. So you say you love your spouse, but the way you're living isn't really showing that. I know I've done that to my poor wife, Beth. And it's important to realize we could do that with God. And so we might say, I love God and I go to Mass every Sunday and I say a couple prayers here and there, but do I really take that time every day for daily prayer? Do I sit quietly like Martha did, sitting at the foot of Jesus? Do I sit at the foot of him in the tabernacle, in my church, or in the monstrance, in the real presence of the Eucharist, in an adoration chapel? Or maybe I can't get to my church or a chapel, but do I take time in my own home, just quietly taking time to be with him? Do I really try to become Mary before becoming Martha, choosing the better part, making prayer the priority? Because here's the thing, if I'm not praying every day, it's no wonder I'm going to be anxious. It's no wonder I'm not going to be really happy in life, because I'm trying to solve all my problems on my own. I'm trying to control everything on my own, and that never goes well. I will be anxious and worried and troubled by many things. And so do I put prayer first? That's the first thing we need to do. That's going to help me be Mary before becoming Martha, to live like Mary before I go out and do all my Martha things, so to speak. And then do I cultivate that, what Cardinal Sarah describes as that attentive interior attitude throughout the day? It's not just I got some prayer time in the morning, but throughout the day, do I have little times where I pause, I pull back from the busyness of my activities, and I just sit in God's presence, even if it's only for like 30 seconds. When something troubling happens, do I just take a moment and pause and turn it to the Lord? So I have to put prayer first. I have to cultivate that interior attitude throughout the day. It's not just one time of prayer, but do I have little moments throughout the day where I pull back from my busyness and the stresses, and I just rest in the presence of God, allow him to calm my heart? And now I'm going to get to the hard ones. I mean, it might be hard for us to get daily prayer in and hard to try to pull back and be attentive, but I'm going to share with you two essential other things. So the points 3 and 4 are the most important here. And these are harder to do. Point 3 is, do I trust? Do I actually trust the Lord? Do I take time to tell the Lord I want to trust him? So Lord, I'm anxious because I've got this deadline, or I'm anxious because I got all these things to do at home, and I'm anxious because I'm worried about one of my kids and their behavior. I'm anxious because of there's this tension in my relationship with my spouse, or I'm anxious about what's going on in the company and the future, and I'm not going to have this job, or I'm not going to get the promotion I wanted. You know, and I find myself anxious. I'm anxious about this certain relationship. Is it going to work out? Is it going to happen? And I just find myself anxious in those moments. Do I fall on my knees before God and say, I trust you, Lord. No matter what happens, no matter what's going on, I trust that you can bring good out of this. It's going to be good for me. I trust that you're going to care for me. It may be really hard, but I trust you'll give me the grace to carry this cross. I trust if I don't get this thing I wanted, that there's something else you have in store for me that's even better. I trust that if I don't get this relationship, or if I don't get this promotion, if I don't get this situation, you know, solved, I trust that there's something else there that you have for me that will be good for me, that maybe you're even just inviting me to trust you more by not getting what I want. And so I think this third point of expressing trust, falling on our knees, maybe literally in front of the Blessed Sacrament or right there in our own homes, falling on our knees, or in your own office, you can close the door for a moment and fall on your knees and say, Lord, I trust you. I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I trust you. Do we do that with the Lord? So first point is put prayer first. Be Mary before becoming Martha. Secondly, cultivate that interior attitude throughout the day where you're attentive to your heart, to God's presence in your life, to God caring for you in the midst of the troubles in daily life. Thirdly, trust the Lord, but this is the hardest one now, to surrender. Yes. Do you ever do this? Do you ever just ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that I'm so attached to? What is it that I cling to that I think I have to be happy? That I have to have this certain relationship, that I have to have this certain promotion, I have to have this certain financial situation, whatever it is. What is it maybe, Lord, that you're inviting me to surrender, to give up, to tell you that, you know what, Lord, if I don't get that, I know you're still there. You're the one thing necessary. You know, I think this is so important because when we talk about faith, faith is not just, real faith is not just, I believe in all the teachings from the catechism. It involves that, of course, but also involves this trust. And this is where faith comes in real life is, do I really trust him in these moments? I think about what Jesus said to the apostles when the big storm came and they're panicking. Oh, Lord, we're perishing. And he says to them, why are you so anxious, you of little faith? Do you really have faith in God? Do you really believe him? Because if you do, you wouldn't lose your interior peace when you're stuck in traffic and you're running late or your kid has a meltdown. You wouldn't lose your interior peace if a friend said something that hurt you. You wouldn't lose your interior peace when something's happening in the office and you're worried you're going to lose your position. I'm not saying you're not going to be sad about these things. That's human. And you're not going to wonder, what does this mean and what's going to happen next? But do you fall into anxiety in those moments? Why are you so anxious when the storms of life come? You of little faith. Martha found freedom from this because she learned to pray and put prayer first, to cultivate that interior attitude, to trust. But she also learned to surrender. Lord, if, you know, even now, I know you could do something, but she doesn't tell Jesus what to do. She surrenders even the death of her brother to the Lord. One thing I try to do, because I struggle in all these areas, but when I can tell that I'm attached to something, one thing I find that helps me is if I just lay it at the Lord's feet. I actually proactively just say, Lord, okay, if this thing I'm worried about actually happens, Lord, maybe it's your will. Maybe that's what's going to be good for the church or good for my soul or good for my family. And I can't see it because I think this would be a disaster if this happens. But I just want to entrust it to you and say that if this is what's good for the church or good for my family or good for my soul, Lord, I give it to you. And I don't just surrender it. I embrace it. I will it. I choose this, Lord. I choose this thing I'm so scared about. I choose this thing I so would be so mad if it happened, but I don't want to be mad and I don't want to be sad about it because if it is your will, I really do trust that it'll be good for me. And I find that it's not easy to say a prayer like that, but I find when I actually give it to God in that way and say, Lord, if this is what's really best, I embrace it. I'm not just resigned. I don't just accept it. Like, oh, well, I guess I got dealt these bad cards from God. No, I embrace it. There's never bad cards from God. Whatever God allows to happen in our lives, it uses it for good. And I embrace this, Lord. I don't just passively accept it. I actively accept it. I choose this. If this is what's best, I choose this. And my friends, that's what Lent is all about. We're getting ready to enter into Christ's passion, which all begins with Jesus in the garden. Not just simply saying, oh, well, all right, I guess I got to go be killed tomorrow. No, he embraces it. He says, Father, not my will. May your will be done. This is going to be really hard. He's sweating drops of blood. This is intense. And yet he says, not my will. May your will be done. He surrenders it, his whole life to the Father. Let's do the same. Amen. Thanks so much for listening, my friends. If you want to hear more about this theme of being, you know, how do we overcome our anxieties and be freed and find the peace that Martha found in her own struggles with this, you could check out, I have a whole section in my book, When You Pray, Trust, Surrender, and the Transformation of Your Soul. I have a whole section on this idea of how do we practically grow in trust of the Father, just sharing a few insights from that. You can find that at ascensionpress.com. Again, When You Pray, Trust, Surrender, and the Transformation of Your Soul. God bless.